As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We live in an environment that greatly needs us to be actively involved in what goes on in our world. We cannot continue to lay back and relax. Our absence in the activities that are going on and the changes that are going on has allowed individuals of power to take control of our elected officials. Washington, D.C. is now being ran by multimillionaires who refuse to take into context the thoughts and feelings of the general public. The middle class has been forgotten about, and other people seem to feel comfortable with the demise of right in our society. We seem to have allowed our country to be taken control of by people with very little moral values, who are willing to say all types of things without bringing their moral spirit to the table. We now have to fight against those who refuse to respect the world of the middle class and the poor. We need to recognize that there are people out there who are willing to disregard minorities and people of color. Recently, we had a Florida senator by the name of Frank Art Tells use the N-word and call a cohort, a legislator, a bitch. Now, we realize, and a lot of us who've been talking since Donald Trump has come into office knew that there was going to be some ugly things to take place. And this senator may be the first senator of many who loses his job because he's gotten caught up in an environment that allowed other people to say things that were out of control and still win the White House. So in the back of his mind, he felt comfortable over dinner making statements that took him down. So this is the first head that has been cut off as a result of Donald Trump being the president. And it happened to be in the state of Florida. But understand, there are going to be other legislators who are going to make the mistake of believing that they can say the kind of things that Donald Trump has said and be more verbal about their personal racist opinions and find their heads cut off as well. But that will only happen if we're willing as Americans to stay on top of the things that are going on around our country. It is time for us to realize that we cannot sit back and relax. In this environment, every man, woman, and child has to be prepared to fight for the kind of America they want. Sit back and think that people are going to be righteous and behave in the best interest of the country, because there are too many individuals out there who are only interested in keeping the dollars flowing into their pockets. There are too many major issues going around in our country that we have to be prepared to make the right decisions at the right time so that we don't destroy the world that we've come to love. On this Sunday, we're going to call this What's on Your Mind Sunday, because there is so much that we need to talk about. We are closer to the destruction of our world and closer to World War III than we've ever been in my lifetime. Somebody has to come up with the right way to get us out of this confrontation between democracy and the way that things are done in North Korea. We have situations in our country where racism is becoming the next way of doing business. We have men who are tumbling because of their ability not to respect women. And we need to deal with how do we treat one another so that both men and women feel comfortable in the workplace. We need to talk about how do we make sure that our world related to our religion, our government, and our peace of mind works for everyone. I'm going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and discuss what's on the mind of those of you out there so that we can start our week with a focus.
I will be the one.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Kathy, there is so much to talk about, and I truly don't want to dominate the airwaves with just the stories that I have selected. So I'm going to ask you to just give me an idea or tell me what's on your mind this evening as we start the week off.
Well, first of all, good afternoon, Mr. Deshay, and I want to know where you've been these last couple of days.
Well, Kathy, I want you to know that I didn't want y'all to have to deal with a clogged up James Deshay. I have been dealing with a cold that just kept me all clogged up, and I could not seem to get away. And I only got better after I went and spent almost 8 or more hours in the hot sun and seemed to kind of dry up everything in my head. And so I'm ready to come back, even though I'm not completely well, but I do appreciate being given the opportunity to get myself a little bit healthier, and so I'm back. So I spent 3 days with being clogged up and my voice changing because I was talking out of my mouth or breathing out of my mouth.
Okay, I truly understand because I think I'm getting ready to go through that now. I'm on day 2, and I'm clogged up and everything else. But, you know, I hadn't heard you guys for a while, so I said I wanted to come on and just say hi, make sure everybody was okay and everything is in place. So I'm glad to know that you're unclogged and you're doing good. So, I'm open for whatever today. I may not have all the answers, but I am open for a conversation. I don't have anything particular that I really want to talk about.
Let me just ask you this, Kathy. You know, we've been talking for a long time about the fact that Donald Trump was bringing in a new era, and we as minorities had to be aware of what was going to take place related to people and they're being comfortable with doing and saying things that they may have kept in the back of their mind. And if I'm not mistaken, our Florida senator is the first person to fall victim to this new environment by using the N-word and calling one of his co-senators a bitch. And so here he had to resign after first trying to fight to keep his job, but we are coming under attack by those who just thought it was not proper for him to be able to speak in public in that fashion. It was after hours. It was at dinner, but with other of his colleagues. And so what he said in the dark came to light. And again, to my understanding, he is the first government elected official to fall victim after the Donald Trump, this new Donald Trump environment. So what are your thoughts about, is this going to be something that continues to happen because people are feeling more and more comfortable to allow their racist viewpoints to come out?
You know, Dan, this is usually you and Dee, or you and Audrey's subject. I don't know anything about what you're talking about as far as politics are concerned. You know, but as far as racism, you know, it exists. It's been existing for years and years. I mean, and to me, it's nothing ordinary. I mean, unordinary that, you know, those racist remarks are being said. I mean, we already know that behind closed doors and sometimes in cars or wherever they do what they do, it's being done, you know. But to blatantly come out and say racist remarks to someone, there may be repercussions, there may be consequences behind it. So my thing would be, are they ready for the consequences behind them using racist remarks, you know, saying things that are not civil? So that's what I would say about that.
Well, you know, it is difficult to understand a man who has gotten to the point that this man had gotten to in terms of his ability to become a senator, and to lose sight of the position he held and feel comfortable to use the N-word and call a female a bitch in mixed company shows how lax the restraints were on his thinking. Dee, what is your thought about this first state elected official having to resign as a result of his statements made in public, racist statements, and his views by one of his female colleagues?
Well, first of all, Jane, welcome back. We're glad to have you back, guy. You know, we was kind of bottled up and not having nowhere to release the things that we want to say. Your show give us that avenue to do so. So welcome back again. You know, like Ms. Kathy just said a moment ago, racism has been a part of our life, actually, since the beginning of humanity. You know, there are all different races on this planet, and there's always a different race that think they're better than the other race that they're in close proximity with. But this guy got a little comfortable. President Trump kind of set that mold during his campaign when he said, "Kick his ass and get him out of here," at one of his rallies, you know, and which they vehemently denied them ever saying. Later on during the campaign. But the table has been set for that. In a world view, and I hope I'm not moving too fast in topic wise, in a world view, this is where we are. And this is what we have come to. You mentioned about the crisis over in the Korean Peninsula. This is where we are, and this is our Cuban Missile Crisis. The first, this may be even our Armageddon. And on a positive note, this is what we've always been prepared for in Sunday school. So there is a positive swing to it. Across the board, from Florida all the way around to Seattle, from one end of the planet all the way around to the other. This is where we are. And, you know, our money can't save us. We've been given numerous chances as a human race. We've all taken it for granted. People here on your show, we're speaking out about it. And but I got more to come, so that's what I got to say for now.
But Dee, you know, you opened this up, and I didn't want to dominate the conversation today, and I don't want to dominate the conversation on Sundays because it's about, you know, what you're thinking. But I just want to share with you and Kathy, I am very disappointed in the way that things are going with North Korea. I understand that we are dealing with a man that does not think in a normal fashion, but it requires us to make sure that every step we take is one that is going to be completely understood by everyone because of the danger that exists with dealing with North Korea. This is not dealing with some terrorist group in the Middle East. This is dealing with a major league country that has decided that it is committed to its armed forces and has the money to commit to its armed forces in order to be a major player. When you're dealing with a country that has hundreds of thousands of men who have weapons, that means that you cannot just easily invade them and overthrow them. When you're dealing with a country that has the ability to send missiles into their neighboring country and into Japan and possibly reach the coast of the continental United States, we're dealing with something that is going to be world-changing. And most of these other situations, you know, we've literally forgotten the lives that were lost in most of these small battles and small skirmishes. But we need to understand any direct conflict with North Korea will not be forgotten. And so the peace that Kathy knows and talks about is going to be disrupted because we truly are going to need prayer if one of our major cities is hit by a missile. Not to even speak of anything nuclear, but it's just hit by something where it could kill 5,000 or 6,000 people at one time. And we're messing with the head of a state that could change our whole existence. And we need to be clear about the plans we have to deal with this, because there's no way you can shut this down without anyone losing big. South Korea is going to lose big. Japan may possibly lose big, and we could possibly lose big. And you know, this is not something we can take haphazardly. And I know, Kathy, you normally don't deal with the politics of this, but do you have any fear at all related to the conversations that you heard, especially with you being in California? Is there any talk in California at all about what to do about North Korea?
No, I haven't heard anything, and I was just trying to talk to my husband to see if he had any comments about that North Korea incident. Michael, you have anything you want to say? He said no, but no, I haven't heard.
Now, you
anything.
Know, we're gonna have to get your husband more involved, because I know that men have a sense of what danger is, and I know I don't live on the West Coast, but I am truly fearful of what might take place if we get into an all-out war with North Korea. The eastern coast of our nation is probably safe. Dee, what are your thoughts? Can you really fathom being in an all-out war with North Korea?
Well, James, to be honest with you, I'm really at peace with the whole situation. And I'm going to try to explain why. This confrontation, if you will, could be of biblical proportion. All right? And having said that, again, we've been preparing for this all our lives. The only thing is that we just didn't think that it would happen in our lifetime. That's the shocker, okay? But, you know, like the senator in Florida, and what I'm about to say comes a dime a dozen. And this is what I'm talking about here now is about fake Christians. And the guy in Florida, the senator in Florida, put me in the mind of that now, because you got to know that on Sunday and around his peers and around his voters, he's a Christian. Now, my point is, and all of that is, that on a wide biblical scale and under the skin of reality is what you have to come to expect. Now, my notion of this is that if, as believers, if we believe in the coming of Christ and the end of the world, as I mean, Christ can't come until all of this happens. That's what I'm getting at. Christ cannot come until all of this happens, and all the players in the world are doing their part to make this come to pass. If, as believers, we believe that, then we should not be fearful, because the prophecy is coming true. So that's where the comfort is. I got small kids. I got small kids that if things play out the way that we predict it will, then they might not see the age of 20. Am I worried about that? I am not. Because we all are here on this earth as beings in borrowed time. This is not our world. This is the world that he gave us. In that, we have abused it. We have abused each other. It's like the passage of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is the chances that we've had, where God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angel said, well, don't do it, because we believe that there are some people in this world, and metaphorically, in this world that are good. Then if it is, the Lord said, go out and prove that to me. Have them show themselves worthy, and we have not done that. That's my point. And so it's all to be expected. Am I worried? Not in the least. Thank you.
Kathy, you know, I'm always trying to figure out what would bring you into these deep kind of conversations. I know, because your spirit tries real hard to stay away from it. But as believers, we've already been told how the world is going to end. And we were told that it's going to end by fire. And so when we talk about missiles and nuclear weapons, there is no easier way to put the world on fire than to do it with all these nuclear weapons and a battle of all battles. So, you know, when people are trying to tell us the world is coming to an end and there'll be wars and conversations of wars and fathers fighting sons and all this detriment, do you see any of these pieces coming together right now in your mind related to your belief in the Bible?
Yes, I do. And I'm like, I have a piece about it, because the Bible speaks about that we will see terrible times and that there will be wars and rumors of war. So prophecy is being fulfilled, you know, and all we could do is just continue to pray and believe that God is not going to leave us. He said he would. He would never leave us nor forsake us. So I just stand on that word and believe that that through this all, he's going to protect us regardless of whatever else everybody else is doing or whatever else is going on. We're protected. However it may be, we are protected. And it also says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So once we leave here, it's over. It's over, you know, and we're starting on the new heaven. So there's nothing to be afraid of, just to stay focused and know what our mission is, because we do have a mission.
You know, I truly appreciate the focus that both you and Dee have, regardless of the circumstances that go on. And I just find it a little more disheartening to think that the young people in our midst won't have the satisfaction of reaching or having the same comfort of safety that we've experienced. I was born in 1960, and we were involved in the Vietnam War during my first 10 years of life. But not once during that time did I really lose any sleep over feeling uncomfortable about my existence here in America. I knew that war was taking place somewhere else in the world, but never have I experienced hearing an explosion of any type. So at the age of 56, I've lived a long time in the comfort of having peace in my life. And now I believe that there are young people who may not get through the next 10 years without there being explosions taking place here in America. And that has to be because if we can have explosions that take place on a regular basis in America, then they truly can take place anywhere. And so it is very concerning to me on my human side to know that this may become something commonplace to our American children. Dee, is there any way you see that this situation can be avoided based on the fact that North Korea seems determined to have the same kind of military power as China, Russia, and the United States?
Yeah, James, actually I do. And I have faith in this right here. I have faith that that there will be divine intervention. Now, we've all seen movies. Now, I always go back to the movies because you know how I am about movies and war and science fiction and things of that sort. Now, as we've seen in movies, when it comes down to the real scenario where things are about to pop off, there's always somebody or a group of somebodies on the other side who realize how asinine this situation is. And they always are the one that intervenes from the inside to take down the probability of things happening in a negative way. There's my faith and action in divine intervention. Don't nobody really want this to happen, no matter how close to the curve it gets, all right? Even though it's your job to follow orders as a military person, somebody still got a family and a world of existence that they love. And through divine intervention in that way, that's where the interfering factor will come into play, I believe.
You know, Dee, what you said seems to be so true. As we play this game of cards with our world, it seems to be unfathomable that anybody could think that any major war between countries as large as America and North Korea could be in anybody's best interest. And that even at this point, someone has to be able to convince the North Koreans that this their leadership is not doing what's in the best interest of their country and pay somebody off to change the direction of their country. You know, I've heard that there are a lot of people in North Korea that are literally starving because all the money that is in North Korea is being put into their military. So at what point does some uprising occur that internally that gets this country to change its direction? We know that China and America had different opinions related to their people and how their country is run. We know Russia and America have different opinions about how their country is run. But we have sanity and in the way that we deal with one another. But North Korea seems to be a hair trigger that nobody knows how to deal with. And it's a scary, scary situation. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more waves. That super world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
All right. This is James C. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, and Saturdays and Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at 5 o'clock West Coast Time. Now, Kathy, I need you all in on this one because I need you to help me and Dee to be able to help other young men and older young men understand where the lines have to be drawn. We know that Bill O'Reilly has been fired. And for a lot of us, there is a victory in him being removed from Fox, even though he will continue to make millions because there are millions of people who believe in the way he believes. So there'll be another vehicle that allows him to put his rhetoric into the airways despite being fired from Fox. But what I am interested in asking you, because you are a proud African-American female, when you heard the words that Bill O'Reilly used to this African-American female, I have to tell you, I worked 10 years at the jail, and a lot of the female correction officers, I knew a large number of them. I saw how they interacted with other correctional officers and the kind of playful way they interacted with each other. So when I heard what Bill O'Reilly really said to this black female, when he called her hot black hot chocolate, I was wondering, you know, are women, African-American women, really offended by people saying that to them, or was it because he was a white man that said it to them, or because he didn't have a personal relationship with her? And when I mean personal, just because they weren't friendly, because I'm just not sure that what he said in and of itself was harassment. So I'd like to know from you, because you are a woman and you've lived all these years as an African-American woman, how is this line drawn, and how do you deal with people who might just think that calling you a hot Miss Chocolate was a compliment?
Well, I'm looking at that, and knowing the character of that particular person, I don't know if he meant it as a compliment. Now, I know that there are some people that do call women chocolate. My husband called me chocolate, you know, like I'm his chocolate drop or something like that. So, I mean, and because he's saying it as a way of endearing, like love, like, you know, you my chocolate. You know, that's how we talk to each other. But for someone else who does not know me, that does not know anything about me, especially a person that you know of the place that he's coming from, you may take it offensively. It depends on who you are. But looking at it on the other side, you know, there are always people out there that are trying to get you, meaning us, as black, as African-American women, men, to react. So this could have been a way for him to make her or him to react, because they're always trying to find the button to push on us, because they know that certain words are very offensive to us, and we take those words very lightly when people say them, and we know that they do not mean us any good but are trying to mean it for harm. But as for me, if it was said in a conversation and we were at work, hey, I chalk it up and keep going, because I know these days a lot of men are into black women, and a lot of black men are into white women. So, you know, it could be that way. I know this lady was talking to me and my sister, and she didn't know that we were sisters because my sister is light and I'm dark. And she said, "Oh, you guys look alike," but the way she said it was like, "Okay, I'm trying to find similarities of you guys to say, you know, to go with what I'm saying to you." I said, "Well, yeah."
Mm-hmm.
I said she's the cream and I'm the chocolate. You mix us up and we go together. So she started laughing. So my sister started laughing. I'm like, that's who we are, you know, because she's light and I'm dark. But I didn't get offended when she said it, you know, because I know she was trying to like, are they really sisters? Because one's light and one is dark. Yeah, we're still sisters regardless that she's light and I'm dark, you know, but I made it so that she could kind of relate and say, okay, well, she's not offended that I'm saying this. So it was okay in that aspect. But if a man would have came and said something like that, I probably would have been a little fiercer, but I probably wouldn't have said anything about it. So.
Well, Dee, let me ask you, what were your thoughts when you heard what Bill O'Reilly really said to this black female? Did you think it was really out of left field, or had you heard worse in your dealings with people interacting with women in that fashion?
Well, I think Ms. Kathy said it best when she, the first thing that she said that came to mind with her was the character. The character of the person these words came from put it in a whole different perspective. Now, speaking of the character of those such as Bill O'Reilly, who think they are untouchable, who think that they are beyond reproach, who know that they are part of the good old boy network. I don't care what part of the country you're in. You can be down here in South Georgia or you can be in New York City. You still have that Southern cotton bale mentality where you think that you can say anything that you want to say. And nothing should be said about it. It's all in the character from whom it's coming from. Now, even at a corporate dinner party, a small party, and if one of the persons that were to say something like that, and you know he got a redneck character, then no, he can't say that, not even in plain or kidding, because you know that he's trying to be offensive. So that's what put Bill O'Reilly on the microscope. And speaking of one, some others that think they're untouchable, Sean Hannity. I hear that now that he's one of Donald Trump's closest confidants. And so he's going to fall in this category also. Just subconsciously, he's going to think that he's going to be untouchable where he can say almost anything he wants to, which he already does. But that's my point. It's the character of the person that these things and think that you're not supposed to say anything about it.
Well, truly, you know, it has been a real battle for men to figure out what to say and when to say it, and for it to be accepted in the way that will bring us favor. You know, we've always wanted to know what was the best line and how to say it and when to say it for it to get the best result. But here we have what is, you know, a common thing to say by some people, especially when you go to the lower levels of professions, to tell a black female, you know, she is a, you know, sweetest chocolate or hot chocolate, in a lot of places, is a very positive comment. Regina, what are your thoughts about this black female saying that Bill O'Reilly called her Miss Hot Chocolate?
I'm wondering if she reported it when it happened, because I witnessed something a few weeks ago right on my job where a man walked past. Both of these people are instructional assistants. The man is an Army veteran, and the young lady was in college, but she was an instructional assistant at this point. And she was reaching up into the cabinet, and he looked and he passed by her, and he said, somebody had been eating a lot of collard greens. And I thought I heard right. I know I heard right. I was waiting for her response to be different, and she just laughed. That is the kind of stuff that we cannot have and accept. And then, choose when it's going to be unacceptable. So I don't know why did she report it when he said it? Is it just coming out or how did she handle it?
She shared it with some of her friends, and she shared it in postings on her Facebook. But I don't think she took it to HR because she was a temp and she didn't want to lose her opportunity to work at Fox. So I don't think she shared it with anyone other than on her Facebook platform and on her Twitter platform and with her friends. I've heard her say that. I heard someone close to her say that she said on her Twitter that Bill O'Reilly likes black women, and because of her experiences with him. But Regina and Kathy, when I get close to women and I feel comfortable with them enough that we're friends, there are things that I may be comfortable sharing with them to let them know that they are attractive. Now, one of the things that men say amongst themselves is that jeans are the greatest invention ever given to man. And that is because of the way that African-American women wear jeans. So now I don't know if they are aware of that, but I believe they are aware of it because they buy a lot of jeans. I'm not sure if any race of people buy more jeans than African Americans.
This is my first time ever hearing that that's what y'all say.
Well,
wow.
I don't know about jeans, but I'm just letting y'all in on a secret.
Yeah, you did.
Black men in my area feel like jeans are the greatest invention ever created. And when somebody walks by and they're wearing a nice pair of jeans, and it is, you just say, boy, jeans do a body good. You remember that milk commercial that said milk does a body good?
Milk, it does a body good, yeah.
Jeans do a body good is what we say when we see a nice pair of jeans walk by. And I just don't know. If somebody said you really look good in those jeans, is that offensive? Kathy?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so because it's a compliment. It depends on how it's said. Because, like you said, as women, we know when we put on our clothes, we know what type of attention we're going to attract. If we put it, we got some tight jeans on, if we got whatever it is, we know. So if I'm walking somewhere and someone say, wow, you sure look good in them jeans, okay, thank you, and keep it pushing. But if you say, damn, baby, that's a little bit overboard. It's how you say it. is how we take it. So for like the young lady who told her friends and posted it on Facebook, she wanted to say something, you know, but like she said, she was afraid that it may interfere with her job because, you know, this person was one of the higher up. So who are they going to believe? They're not going to believe her. They're just going to probably think that she's just making something up. But it happens all the time. I mean, that's just something that men do. You know, when, like you said, when they see women in jeans, that's how the eyes are the attraction of the man, and that's what they look at. They look at the body of the woman, the eyes, the boobs, the butt, whatever it is, but that's just how men are. And it depends on who the woman is. You know, some women do not want you to say anything about to them about what they are wearing, but I wouldn't take it offensive. I would just smile and keep going.
Have you heard Regina said that's the first you heard of that. Is that something you have heard about men and how we feel about jeans?
Well, no, that's the first I've heard it put in that way. I have heard it been said that like somebody painted them jeans on you, and so, but look, it all boils down into the way that you say these things, and Kathy is absolutely right. You know, my mother used to say, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything, and so. You know, when it comes from the person on Regina's job, when the person insulted the young lady, that's what it was. You know, when you're speaking to a black person, and you're speaking and you're going to use collard greens and fried chicken as your point, then that's you're deliberately trying to insult, because if you're showing your ignorance of that you relate collard greens and fried chicken to black folks, then that's an ignorant statement. For the young lady not to respond, she probably did not know how to respond. You know, sometimes we have to. Yes, dear.
It was a black man.
Oh no.
It was a black
stop
man.
Stop playing. Stop playing.
Huh?
I say stop playing.
It was a black man.
Oh,
this black man is every bit of 60, and this girl is every bit of 21.
Well, James, just say, on that, I dropped the mic. I don't have anything to say.
Well,
my Lord. Okay.
I tell you, Him being 60, you know, we supposed to keep real on the show now. Him being 60 does add something to it, and her being 21. But, you know, we all have, look, I went to South Carolina State, you know, historical black college, and we all talked about how the females at South Carolina State colleges and colleges around the country are shaped differently because of what they eat. So that comment is nothing new to me. You know, collard greens, macaroni and cheese, whatever you call it, that create those curves, those were things that we said. But not to hurt nobody. You know, I mean, even now we have men talking about how women are taking it too far with all these injections and all this stuff, all this phony stuff that they're using to create these big bottoms and how they're hurting themselves. We don't want our women to be hurting themselves and injecting themselves to create this false look. But this has been a part of our lives and our culture for a long time. This didn't happen overnight. We didn't get these stereotypes about women's bodies or African-American women's bodies overnight. This is something that has been with us for a while. but we don't want people to go too far with it. But the issue is whether or not it is offensive to women for you to say it to them. Now, I have to tell you, men have a hard time saying nothing about the things that they see. I know when I'm at the museum and I see all these women walking down the street going to these concerts, and now it's fashionable for women to take their jeans and to cut them up. And that means that instead of just having jeans, now they want to have these patches on their jeans where it's stringy, like they've taken a razor blade and cut it so the strings go horizontal across their knee or across their thigh, or they may have a patch cut out of it to show their different independence or their looks. And I just can't believe, Kathy and Regina, that they do that for you not to say nothing.
So it's a fashion.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
They don't want nobody to say nothing,
but they use these. They're not happy enough with the jeans just being jeans. They now want you to be able to see their skin through the jeans. You know, how does that work?
It's a fashion, and it's a woman thing. You wouldn't understand that, James. Just like there are some things that men do that we won't understand, but that's something that women do and men don't understand it. It's something that we like doing. We like being fashionable. We like wearing certain jeans, certain skirts, certain pants. But then there's a way to keep it conservative as well. So if you're talking about those where you can see out their butt, that's something different. That's not being conservative, because there are jeans with the holes in them where you don't see, you know, any of the private parts, but you are able to see, like, down at the leg, the thigh, or something like that. I don't know. But some people believe that it's okay to wear that. So, I mean, who am I to say what someone should not wear? But I'm saying, before you go out the mirror, I mean out the door, as a woman, we look in the mirror and we say to ourselves, is somebody going to say something about what I have on? I always do, because if I think that it's too revealing or it's too tight, I ask my husband, say, babe, what you think about this? He'll say, no, that looks nice, babe. I say, okay. And then he'll say, well, I don't know what you think. If he say, well, I don't know what you think, that means that something is too tight or something. So I'll take it off, because I don't want any extra attention being drawn to me because of something that I have on. But that's just me. Everybody is different. Every woman is different. But it's a fashion thing, and we love clothes. We love to dress up. We love for people to look at us. That's just who women are.
Well, I haven't seen the one with the cut out on the butt. I guess that's something to look forward to. But I haven't seen that one yet, Kathy. But, Regina, you're going to tell me that women who are cutting their jeans up, who are doing these things, don't want men to say anything?
Who are cutting their jeans?
Yeah, who cutting their jeans?
No, they want to.
And showing their thighs and showing their knees. And they're just making a fashion statement, but they don't want the men to whistle or catcall or any of that. That's a fashion.
Let me tell you, in the summertime when you're preparing to go to an outdoor concert or hang out in the mall or something like that, you want to get attention. You want to look good. You want to feel good. When you look good, you feel good. When someone gives you an extra stare, you feel good about it, makes you feel better about it. But please note, I said when you go to a concert, when you go to the mall, when you go to the park, not one time did I say when you go to work. So there's a different level of you should be on when you go into your workplace. And there are different laws that control women's rights in the workplace. And they have a right not to be harassed. And I can't help it if a woman's body, she may have on a loose-fitting skirt, but you can see the shape of her body. And if that gives you whatever you want to call it, and if that makes your nature start squirming around, then that's not her fault in the workplace now.
I
put it as nicely as I could.
Well, you do realize that there are some women who suggest that they have been demoted or fired because of the way their clothes fit, and that somehow they can wear the same thing as another woman, but what people have suggested that it looks sexier on them than they do other women, and why should they be blamed for the curvatures of their bodies or the size of their breasts? So, you know, even at work, two people can wear the same thing and their outfits be conceived differently. Kathy?
Get him, Kathy.
Now, you are absolutely right with that one, Jazz. No, because we had a problem at my job. It was about four of us in our little group. And there's one other young lady. She's a younger lady that hangs with us. And she have a curvy little body. And another lady of another race will wear an outfit and nothing is said at all. And then my friend will wear the same outfit and they would say that she had to go home, she had to change, why is she wearing that to work? But it was not inappropriate. It was not showing anything. It's just that she had curves. And we can't help it because we have curves, and when we put something on, it looks different than it looks on someone else. So I don't feel that she should have been sent home or talked to about what she was wearing, because the way that the clothes fit her differently than it fitted someone else. So to me, that's a problem, because we are shaped a certain way and clothes fit us differently than they fit other folk. As Regina say, folk.
Well, listen, we are at that time. We've gone through this hour and a half very fast. I'm going to take a short break, and then we're going to have the final word. So you guys get in your head what your final word is, and we'll come back and finish out the show.
Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We no longer can reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and the future. This show has been established for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay. I look forward to you writing to me at djames82@aol.com. That's djames82@aol.com. Let me know what issues you would like to address on my radio show.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Kathy, what is your final word for today?
I just want to say, you know, it's a privilege and an honor to be a part of this forum with you, Mr. James Deshay, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to voice my opinion, and I am excited about what is coming up in the future, and I just want you to know not to worry, but God is in control of everything.
All right, all right. Regina, what is your final thought for today? Are you there, Regina?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It looked like okay. What is your final thought for today?
I just want everybody to have a good, blessed week. And let's just keep moving forward and
knowing that God is in control, let him be in control, but then listen to what he says to you and obey what he says.
Well, I want you guys to know that I truly did miss you those 3 days that I was away. I'm still kind of getting over my being stopped up, but I feel a lot better. And it just lets you know that a small cold can bring a giant down, but it did knock me out. And I just continue to thank you for your support with the show. I want you to know that there's some great things coming down the pike, and we're just looking forward to doing what it takes to make sure that our platform is heard loud and clear on a regular basis. We're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that people fully understand where we're coming from. And Kathy, when you and Regina share your openness with us, it lets people know we're real. And, you know, the fact that we're able to have a platform that gives our honest opinions allow people to know that we have feelings and that you need to get to know us before you make statements that might be deemed inappropriate. When you don't know me at all, a statement might be inappropriate. But once I bring you into my circle, then that statement might be seen in a different fashion. And so it's really important that all Americans know that it's important to become a part of a person's circle before you believe that your statements are going to be taken the way you think they're taken before you make them. And that goes for men and women. It is a tough road for both men and women. We're still trying to understand each other. We're still trying to appreciate each other. But we need to come to a conclusion about how we can best deal with each other. And that might not ever happen, because people are so different. People's thoughts of what's right and wrong is so different. So maybe it's something that is going to always be a part of our existence, is to learn how to treat one another and be, you know, faithful and good to the word, so that we can appreciate what everybody brings to the table, no matter what your race, no matter what your gender. We all are a part of this world, and we need to appreciate what we bring to the table. Anything else, Kathy, before we close it out, you want
to
say?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm glad that you're back. I'm happy to hear Regina and Dee, and I miss Joyce and Audre. And, James, remember, it's Sunday. I didn't hear not one gospel song today.
Oh, you are so right, Kathy. You better stay on me, girl. I tell you, I just completely forgot, and you are so right. And I'll try to make amends. Regina, anything else? Regina be getting lost. But anyway, Kathy, I will make it up to you. Just remind me the next time, okay?
Okay, will do. Thank you.
All right, take care, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.